Welcome, everyone, to the Toronto Argonauts season preview call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Claire Hutchinson. Please go ahead, Ms. Hutchinson.
Hi, everyone. This is Claire Hutchinson from the league office at the Canadian Football League. Welcome to this final installment in our annual season preview call. On the line today, we have General Manager Jim Popp and Head Coach Mark Chessman of the Toronto Argonauts. We'll be jumping straight into the Q&A today to talk about the season ahead, so let's kick things off with the first question.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The first question is from Greg Strong of Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the time. A question for Jim. Looking at your team's offseason, I'm keen to get your thoughts on what you think the Argos are capable of in 2018.
Well, I mean, I think we're in a great position to build off what we did last season. We were able to maintain a good core of our, main players that started for us a year ago. They've been in Coach Trestman's system, for now years. They understand it and know it better. They understand the culture. They understand what we're to do when we add our new people there. But it's a new year every year. We got huge challenges, but we addressed issues maybe where we lost some free agency. We had a huge pickup in strengthening our backup quarterback area. We addressed some issues in the draft. And it's just a matter of being able to stay healthy and go out there and execute the game plan that Coach Trestman and the rest of the coaches put into place and us do it well.
I wonder if I could get Coach Trestman's thoughts on that, too, looking ahead to 2018.
Yeah, I just think it's, from a coach and player standpoint, we're just starting over. You know, we've got new coaches in place. We've got new players coming in, and we just look at it as a completely separate entity, and, we'll start over the weekend, and we'll just, go day to day and try to be the best team we could be on a daily basis. That's really it. We're not going to try to overly complicate it with any other, frame of reference.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Mike Hogan of TSN. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll start with the coach and just you have familiarity this year with most of your personnel that you didn't have a year ago. How does that change what you do in camp and how you personally prepared for camp this year?
Well, I don't think it changes anything, Mike. I mean, it's been 6 months since we've seen our players. They're going to be different guys than they were when we left them. I think Jim's correct. We've got a bunch of guys who have some idea of what they're getting themselves into, and we got a bunch of coaches who do as well. But we also have a lot of new faces. We got coaches in different positions. We've got, I think Jim underestimated a little bit. I think he did a tremendous job, him and his personnel department, of bringing in, some guys who are veterans, some guys who have, really done a great job in this league and excelled in. And I think we got a chance to be a really good team because of it, mixing those new guys with the guys that we already have. But the perspective is that it's fresh and it's new and it's starting over, and we're a completely separate entity from 2017. And as soon as we start to, take what happened in 2017 for granted, and we don't start over from basically playing the national anthem and this is a football, I think we're doing our team a disservice. So, you know, we're going to start with nuts and bolts. This is a football, and we're going to, you know, try to get to know each other, get reacquainted on a daily basis, players and coaches. But the dynamic has changed. There'll be new chemistry and a new sense of interconnectivity on multiple levels, and that's what makes new seasons exciting.
Thank you. And, Jim, one for you as well. Just how many of the draft picks do you think are CFL ready at this stage?
Mike, you know, I think instantly, I mean, obviously we're not going to see Ryan Hunter right off the bat, but Quimo coming out of Queens is, I mean, he's CFL ready. He, you know, he should be able to instantly come in and compete for a special team job. You know, he gives us depth in the linebacker core. We'll see over time what all he can do for us. Sibasu, we probably won't see. Gingras Gagnon over the fullback over in Quebec City, Laval. You know, we needed to find a guy that could do some things that Declan does. Declan's such a big part of our offense and our team, period, that we needed to find somebody that was similar to him. And he's probably, no question, the most similar. Now, how ready he is, we're going to find that out. He's a smaller version of Declan, but, you know, at least we have the option of developing someone that can do the same things that Declan, you know, does, at least from a CIS view. We'll see how he translates to pro. Our fifth-round pick, Sean Harrington, can come in and compete instantly for a special teams job. Loisel in the seventh round, coming off some injury, but again, once he's healthy, body type, strength, he should be able to compete for special teams. And then we also had to strengthen ourselves and having another long snapper and Azevedo. I mean, this is top level long snapper from Kent State that could start for any team, but we feel we have the best long snapper in the league. It's just that if something happened, you got to be prepared for somebody else. So we strengthen our team that way.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. The following question is from Sean Fitzgerald of The Athletic. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I have a couple ones. Don't really have anyone in mind. So anyone who wants to jump on this, how about that? What does your new guy, what does Mr. Franklin have to do, or is it possible for him to win the starting job at a camp?
Jim, you want me to start?
You go ahead, Coach.
Okay. I mean, James Franklin is vying in a competition with three other quarterbacks, none of who are Ricky Ray. James Franklin's, he's got to beat out Bethel Thompson first, because Bethel's been here, Cloud's been here, and knows the system, and Dakota's been here as well. But he does have playing time. We hold him in very high regard. But, Ricky Ray is the quarterback here, and he's going to play every down as long as we can play him. And there's no other way of saying it. I don't want there to be. I mean, the question, is I think almost disrespectful to Ricky to even say that. Or ask him, let me put it that way.
Well, I get paid to ask questions. That's what I try.
You can ask whatever question you want, but in my opinion, to think that James Franklin is going to come in here and compete with Ricky Ray for the starting position is disrespectful to Ricky Ray.
All right. Fair enough. Second question, completely unrelated. Where are you guys practicing this year? Are you going to be back at the high school, or are you going to be somewhere else?
I'll address that, Mark. We're in the process of potentially practicing at another venue. There's been a lot of off-season work. Once that's solidified and to be announced, we'll make that announcement. In the meantime, we're going to training camp at York, and when the time's right, we'll have that announcement.
Thank you. The following question is from Chris O'Leary of CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. My question, I guess, is quarterback related as well. Just looking at Noah Picton, a guy you just signed this past week. Jim, I guess we'll start with you. What did you see in Noah, and why did you want to give him the opportunity to play after he went undrafted?
Well, he was on our draft board. I mean, he graded out well enough to be drafted. Sometimes you go through the draft, you can pick all the guys that are available and how they rank and take the best guy, and sometimes you got to take, need. And so it wasn't a necessary need at quarterback, but in regards to him, I truly believe he deserves a shot. You know, he's got things working against him as so-called Doug Flutie, when you're the height you are and you're doing. But, he's a tremendous athlete. He's so cerebral. He plays the game the right way. I mean, I'm excited to see what he can do and actually get out there and compete at a pro level and know what he can do. I know, it sounds like through talking and to him, and this is a guy who wants to be a coach when he's done playing. But I just feel he deserves the opportunity. And I called coach and talked to the personnel staff, and I said, I really want to give this young man a chance. And so I was glad he wanted to, he didn't hesitate. He wanted to be in camp and come in and compete.
Great. And Mark, I don't know if you've seen a lot of film of Noah. I'm just wondering what your impressions are of him, and how do you want someone in his position to approach the training camp and kind of the next few weeks?
Well, I haven't seen Noah play at all, and I've had some text conversations with him, and I've been impressed with that alone. I hope to, get to know him over the next few weeks, and I'm very excited to get a chance to see him out of practice, and Jim speaks very, very highly of him, and we're looking forward to – I'm really looking forward to – meeting him, not only from a football standpoint, from a personal standpoint. I can just tell by the minimal dialogue that we have had that he's going to be a fun guy to coach.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The following question is from Ben Fisher of TSN.ca. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, sorry, I was going to ask about Picton, but I'll ask another one. Is there a change in approach at any time over the season, really, now that you are defending Grey Cup champions, or is it business as usual like it would have been last year?
Yeah, I don't look, Ben. I don't look at us as the defending Grey Cup champions. We're the 2018 Argonauts. That's the way we approach it. I mean, we can't defend our championship because we're not the same team that we were a year ago. So that's our focus going into next week. Our players know it. They're very well aware of it. Our team can't go back-to-back. It's impossible. Our organization can, but our team can't. Our players know that. It's impossible to go back-to-back because we're going to be a different team with different players and different coaches. And so we start new. Jim said it, and I totally agree. We've got pre-existing relationships, but we got to get to know each other. But we've got nuances at all levels. We've got nuances in every part of our football team in all three segments, nuances of players and nuances of coaches. And it's a completely new season. So, we understand that the media is going to say that we're defending Grey Cup champions, but, we're not. And the facts show that. So that's our approach starting next week.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. The following question is from Chris Schultz of TSN. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Question for Jim and Mark. Jim, I thought you made the deal of the year when you did pick up James Franklin and he signed his contract on the 5th. Could you just speak to him in terms of his personality and his maturity, which is pretty impressive? And Coach Trestman, can you teach composure? Because the one observation I have about James is that he has a level of composure beyond his youthful years. Jim?
Hey, Chris. We really felt we weren't sure, what all was, Ricky had not given us the word yet. He was returning. We felt with the quarterbacks we already had, as Mark mentioned, and McLeod and Dakota, and even Jeff at the time, that we had players here we were happy with, but we felt like if we could get a James Franklin who has played extraordinarily well, was considered the potentially the top free agent on the market, that we only are going to strengthen ourselves if we were able to get him. So we took a chance. I mean, we turned around and flipped our first pick a year ago, which was the first pick in the second round, Mason Woods. It was somebody Edmonton was very interested in. We also got a draft pick out of it along with getting James, but there was no guarantee he was going to sign, and it was just a matter of sitting down and talking to him. And by doing that, we had heard so much about him, Chris, but getting to know him, his maturity, his leadership, how well he's liked, and how he handles himself as a professional. Obviously, when you have a quarterback, and if they do become your quarterback, your starting quarterback, you want someone to represent your organization well. He has all those attributes. So, you know, you hope you hit the guys at the gold mine, if you got everything in one person. But, you know, he's got to earn it. He knows that. He wanted to be in Toronto, and he knows he's in competition. So, he's got to come in and do it all to be, the next behind Ricky Ray or the future.
Coach? Mark, can you teach composure to a quarterback?
Well, I went on mute, so you didn't hear what I said, Chris. So it's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Just a couple things. You know, I had a chance to, I've watched every play over the last few years that James has played, and he's terribly impressive on tape. I spent time with him one-on-one in the off season.
Hold on a second. Sorry.
I spent one-on-one time with him in the off season, and I was impressed with his intellect and his understanding, and his already a very good understanding of the offense. I mean, you know, credit goes to Jason and to Carson Walsh out there in Edmonton. They do a great job at teaching the quarterback, and it was evident in his play that, you know, he had assimilated that. And then going to your question about composure, yes, I do think you can, and I think composure comes with, and it actually comes exponentially with quarterbacks who understand the offense, understand protections, because I think poise grows exponentially when quarterbacks are clear at, you know, where to go and what to do and what drop to take and where to go with the football. So I think certainly there's so many inherent and intangible qualities that quarterbacks have, and I think this, you know, this intangible of being poised and having composure is certainly inherent with a quarterback, but you know, I don't think quarterbacks are born. I think they're developed. And part of that is understanding the offense. And the better you understand it, the better you're going to play and with the guys around you. As I said, I think James has that intellect. And I think he was really well coached in Edmonton by Jason and Carson.
And one question of curiosity, if you were to look back at your playbook, offensive playbook from your years in Montreal, and compare it to the playbook that you have now in Toronto, would it be similar or dramatically different?
Oh, it's very similar.
Oh, okay. Well,
the plays we run are the same plays Anthony Calvillo ran for 5 years. You know, there's going to be, again, nuances and, you know, scheme, you know, structure that might change, you know, slightly. But that's what happens every year. Every year there's subtleties, but a dramatic would not be a word I would use.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Sheldon Barracks of Shifter Sports. Please go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Just to go back earlier to what you were suggesting about replacing personnel and bringing in some free agents to replace some losses, could you name about two or three key additions to the team this year?
Jimmy, you want to take it or I can, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's fine. So, obviously, you know, we lost a couple DBs and we felt like, you know, getting TJ Heath to come in and Ronnie Yell, gives us a real chance to add experience and depth to our secondary. And, you know, we already, you know, we had some younger guys step up last year and really play for us quite a bit and in their own right, you know, moved into a role of, you know, developing quickly for us. But, you know, being able to land guys like that only strengthens our team that we know can come in, especially, you know, with TJ leading the league and picks a year ago. But they, you know, they also what's important to us is they fit into our culture that we have here. And a big thing that I'm really big in, it's not about going out and purchasing or buying a guy to come to you. And we want people who want to be in Toronto, want to play in this city, play for our team, play, you know, under Coach Trestman and the staff, and just really be a part of it. And you know, that's the key. And we're going to have one or two others that are going to be added in the near future, and that kind of hit the same mold. And, you know, last year we were able to hit on some key guys and getting S.J. Green and Bear Woods and bringing Marcus Ball back. And so, you know, just to name a few that really, really helped in us being able to move to the level that we did.
And who from last year was maybe under the radar, didn't provide much to the team last year that you're expecting a lot of this year?
Well, I can't say they didn't provide. They did. I mean, you know, when you're talking about under the radar, I'm just going to name a couple. There's a lot of others. But, I mean, you know, we had a young man, Quindarius Ford, that played huge for us in the at DB, Alden Darby at DB. You know, Armani Edwards was a huge situation for us. I mean, you know, someone that came into his own last year, Declan Cross, you know, Justin Tuggle. I mean, Dylan Wynn. We had so many injuries last year, and we had a lot of guys had to step up to the plate and play at a high level. Even, you know, two offensive linemen that Will Campbell and Brandon Washington stepped into the starting roles. And, of course, obviously a James Wilder type. So there's several. I mean, there's several guys. Martise Jackson is a returner. Jimmy Ralph, when he had to come in and play after Coombs went down. There are a lot of guys that were not on the radar screen, so-called, that stepped in and played big for us as we went through the year and made the run and won a Grey Cup.
Awesome. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. The following question is from Neil Davidson of Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Mark, as I'm sure you know, they're putting in a new grass surface at BMO Field, I believe, later this month or before you start playing there. That sounds like a good thing. I just wondered, did you have any issues with the grass last year at BMO?
Not at all. It was a great surface. Our players loved it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. Following question is from Kendall Frank of CFL Talk. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, good luck on the 2018 voyage of the Argo Love Boat. Jim, first to you, the CFL has changed in recent history. We have found, like yourselves last year, I think it's fair to say that quick turnarounds are not unusual now. We've seen Saskatchewan make a pretty quick turnaround. We've seen also yourselves make a quick turnaround. And, of course, Ottawa as an expansion team had a lot of success. What's changed, in your opinion, as a general manager that has afforded organizations that opportunity?
I guess you can say there's quick turnarounds when you go and win a Grey Cup and how you did it or what's at place. I mean, I think there's such a fine line between winning and losing. There's so many things that affect winning and losing. You know, culture is one, getting the most out of your players that you can, you know, between the coaching staff and players. I think that injuries play a key role in it. But obviously we've seen some of that, but I do think that free agency plays a part of that too. You know, in the modern day of keeping your team together, and, you know, when you start having success, it's hard, you know, that's probably the, that's a bigger challenge than maybe turning the team around, is maintaining success and keeping your players together, because they're, everybody wants, whether it's your players or coaches, your front office, if you're having a winning tradition, to try to lure them out of there. And you know, having one-year contracts and, you know, one and option contracts, but a year, really the one-year deal, there's a lot of guys on the move all the time. And, you know, you can change things fairly quick, but a lot of it coincides with maybe a whole change internally. You know, it could be an entire coaching staff or something that goes on, and it might change, that alone may change the culture.
Thank you for answering my second question as well. Coach Trestman, I understand, or maybe you should clarify, it's very, semantics are very important to you. The way things are worded, the you're noted for your details. How important is it to bring in a guy like AC, Anthony Calvillo?
Well, I'm just really excited to have AC with us. That's all I can tell you. I mean, we spent 5 years together, and I think that, you know, every quarterback, every player wants to get, is looking for ways to get better. And believe it or not, Ricky Ray wants to get better. And, you know, by bringing Anthony in, and it was really, you know, the stars again were aligned for this to happen. There was a lot that went on. Steve Walsh left to Saskatchewan, you know, a week before Marcus Brady was hired in Indianapolis. And Anthony Calvillo wasn't going to go back to Montreal. So a lot of things had to come into fruition for AC to come with us. And I don't know that there's anybody more excited than Ricky Ray, because he's going to be in a meeting room with a guy who played 5 years in the offense that he was in. It's not like getting another quarterback coach. And not only is Anthony coming in, you know, understanding the system and knowing how it all evolved, he's been coaching now for almost 4 years. So he's not coming off the street as a player and a coach. He's been a coach. He's been a coordinator. He's coached quarterbacks. So his value and his communication skills are remarkable. The more you're around him, the more you would know that. And I'm sure a lot of people who have been around him over the years have heard him speak, understand that. So I just think it's going to be, as I said, coming in, I don't know what to expect, but I expect we're going to have a lot of fun in the meeting rooms. And we're going to enjoy each other's company, and ultimately we want to get Ricky Ray better, because Ricky Ray wants to get better, and if he does, we do.
The trend, it seems that, I don't know if it's a real trend, but in your peripheral vision, have you noticed how there's been some high-profile coaches coming from the NFL who have a lot of experience? They're a little older than what we're accustomed to. What do you attribute that obvious success that we've seen in Hamilton, and why those coaches are becoming valuable in the Canadian Football League?
I really can't speak for that. I mean, you know, Mike Sherman's a tremendous football coach, and he's got, you know, his value is, you know, in so many ways is going to benefit the Alouettes. And the same with June. I mean, June's had experience at multiple levels. He's been around the block a bunch. He's got, both guys have great people skills. You know, I think the biggest thing is I've always said, when you come from south of the border, you have to come here and you have to really respect the league and the players and the coaches that are in it, because this is as good a league as there is, and the quality of people that are in it are phenomenal. And, you know, it's a league you learn something new every year. I'm never going to be confident in understanding this league and all the dynamic of it. All I know is every time I turn around, I go, you know, whoever invented this league did a heck of a job, because the rules begin to, as the rules begin to make sense and the side of the field begins to make sense and all the different nuances. Again, I've used that word two or three times. I don't know why that's been the word of the day for me, but it's really true. And I think when, you know, June came in, he knew about the league. He came in and respected it, and he's got great value of experience, not only as an administrator, but as an X's and O's guy as well.
So we can anticipate you being the coach of the Toronto Argots until you're like 90?
The only thing I know for sure is that I'm still going to be the coach after this conference call, but the way it's gone, who knows?
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Greg Strong of Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, question for Jim. Jim, I'm wondering, over the last year, year and a half, what did you observe as far as, you know, the busy pro sports scene in Toronto? And are you confident that the fan base, the Argos fan base, will grow this season and you'll see an attendance uptick at BMO?
Well, first of all, the culture of sport in Toronto is outstanding. What a fun place to be, and how the city's embraced their teams, and there's so many of the teams that are doing extraordinarily well. And I learned, you know, I came over 20 years ago when I realized how important it is to have successful sport teams in your city, for fans to want to be in that scene, whatever sport's going on, to want to come out to a ball game and do well. Listen, I have all the confidence in the world. I've been in this league now 28 years. I've seen ups and downs in several cities, and I've seen how they recovered. I've seen people say it can't be successful, and it has. Even the franchises I've been with, I've been in Saskatchewan when they were struggling to make it. Look at them today. You know, I was in Baltimore, and someone said it couldn't make it, and, you know, unfortunately some of the other teams didn't, but it was making it there. I watched 1,700 people in a stadium in Montreal turn into over 100 straight sellouts. Toronto has always been a wonderful place for everybody to come in and play, and they got a tremendous following fan base, and it's not always that they're out at the stadium. So, there might have been a decade lost of not, you know, maybe pinpointing the kids, but there's a lot of things that can be done to get people into the stands and come out and enjoy a beautiful stadium and a great football product. So I got all the confidence in the world that there'll be a lot of positive things that happen, the fan experience to coming out and getting to know our team, not just by their name, but actually touching them and seeing them, and I think we'll be in the community more. So I think it'll help a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'll turn the meeting back over to Ms. Hutchinson.
All right, everyone, thanks for joining us today. That's the last of our annual season preview calls, and audio recordings from each of them can be found on press.cfl.ca. The season kicks off on June 14th with Edmonton versus Winnipeg at Investors Group Field. Thanks again, and enjoy your afternoon.
The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.